Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Now, if Asia is home to over half the world's internet users, why are there only 20 daily viewers on your online store? You know, if you're running one of those e-commerce websites. Is it true that capturing customers is now harder than ever? You know, borders are closed, shopping online's the new norm. Retail businesses moving online. That's unavoidable. Customers are spoilt for choice, if you think about it, whenever you go online. You know, cultural language barriers, that could prevent businesses from gaining a foothold overseas. But with this quick shift, it is now no longer enough for businesses, especially startups and SMEs, to keep their ambitions small. Instead, it's more important than ever to stay competitive, you know, to adapt to new digital markets and keep their biggest asset, which is consumers like you and I. Got to keep us hooked, right? So how can local businesses scale business the correct way? Let's see if we can get some answers from John Jess, the CEO of Stash. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm well. How about yourself?
Not too bad, sir. And I'm quite looking forward to this conversation about businesses scaling. But I suppose to start us off, Stash is, well, considered the missing link for businesses when they're trying to pursue customer and employee engagement. Tell us a little bit more about Stash.
Yeah, sure, Elliot. What we've done at Stash is focus on removing the pain points for our clients to be able to drive the right behaviours for their customers or prospective customers. You mentioned about sort of how businesses can grow in this sort of environment in the digital world, and we've looked at what are the most effective triggers to be able to drive that behaviour and drive the performance of the business in a cost-effective manner. And that all for us centres around providing the right incentive that's going to capture that audience and capture that customer.
So in terms of gaps, you're talking about how to engage the customer better or how to get their attention better?
Yeah, that's right. We're basically trying to cut through the clutter and find an effective way for our brands to be able to connect with their customers. And the greater they know their customers and be able to be informed around what are the right incentives for them to be able to bring them back for further purchases, that's going to drive their success of their campaign. So the role that we really play is build campaigns and become the conduit between the client and the end consumer.
Okay.
And we present for them what is the right incentive to bring them back or to make that initial purchase.
Generally, what are the most effective type of campaigns you can run to increase your customer growth?
Well, what we really do is help drive scale in a smart way. So if the businesses that we work with, if they know the right target markets and demographics that they're looking for, we help them bring together the fragmented market across the region. So what we do is provide a unified platform for whether it be a SME or an MNC for that matter, provide that platform, but then localize the content across Southeast Asia as an example to provide the more favorable incentives in each of those markets and provide the local nuances that is going to drive the sales performance for that specific market, but give our clients the one strategy to be able to run at scale.
You know, there are businesses that would be hearing this and before anything already would feel defeated because you're entering a world now where you were spoiled for choice as customers. How then, in spite of that, can a business scale smart and sustainably?
Well, yeah, I mean, going back to my first point, the key to any success of any business is really making sure that they first and foremost understand the target markets and then the demographics they're looking for, and then really making sure that the various pillars within the business itself is running as efficient as possible. And so from a marketing perspective, what we do is make sure that they're adopting the right technologies to be able to automate the processes to save on time and cost. But the real key around scale is making sure that they've got the agility to maneuver as they learn and as they grow.
Right. In your experience, what do business commonly take to, when they try to expand? I mean, what are some of the mistakes they usually end up making when they're trying to expand?
Well, you know, it can be just around providing one blanket solution. So, you know, it is, you know, understanding the sensitivities of the various markets that you're trying to enter into. And you can do that through learning efficiently. So rather than having a rigid long-term approach, it's making sure that you've got the adaptability to run a program and be able to adjust at a local level or at a localized level. So, one unified strategy works well, but being able to be adaptable and customizable at a market level is what's really key.
You would think that, you know, because you're in the same region, it's supposed to be a little bit easier. But no, it's trickier than you think. I'm curious, John, do you have, say, an example of a local business that Stash has helped to expand successfully overseas?
We've got many examples. I think what the key is that when you're talking about the consumer space, as you mentioned, that they've got many avenues to be able to choose their purchasing behaviour and be informed on what is the product that they would like. So from our perspective, what we try to do is, give our clients an overlay across the region so that regardless of what channel their customers are purchasing through, we can still facilitate the right incentive and give them the right support campaign to be able to drive them and make sure that purchasing behaviour is with that specific brand. Where we're, I suppose, seeing a lot of traction is certainly in the consumer electronics space. With all that's happened over the last 12 to 18 months, consumer electronics has, gone through the roof. So then the purchasing behaviour of that, which has, shifted largely online, whether it be the likes of, Microsoft, Dell, Lenovo, all of these OEMs, where the demand for devices has increased so significantly, we can help, provide them the strategies to be able to get direct access to their customers and give them the right cashback, rebate or incentive, regardless of what channel they're purchasing from.
I like that you bring up consumer electronics because I think I increased a bit of that myself throughout.
You're not alone, I'm sure.
Yeah. But okay. So as a consumer, now let's take on the consumer hat. As a consumer, what am I looking out for then? What attracts me the most? Is it all cashback? Is it all reward? Is it perhaps even free delivery?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing that most consumers, and you'd be able to, I suppose, say this with your own experience, is every consumer is really looking for value. But then as a brand, you've got to find a way to make that value enticing and differentiated from others. And I think everyone loves a freebie. And if you can present that with real value, that's where you're going to get your traction. And so then the key for our clients is making sure that their investment in that freebie or in that additional value is delivered as efficiently as possible, because you don't want to be caught up in the cost of running ineffective and expensive distribution programs to issue out those freebies or offers. Equally, you don't want to be constantly discounting your product price or value. So it's about finding that right balance of being able to give more rather than just take off, your price point.
Where does that play into when it comes to new players trying to get into the game? And what I'm trying to get at is, I mean, do customers really care how established these providers or sellers are from, these businesses are from? Is it too late to play catch up if I'm new to the game?
No, I mean, there's obviously pros and cons to be late in the game. But I think if you're new to the game, the key is that you've got the competitive advantage you've got to some of the earlier market entrants is you've got more agility. You're working off a blank canvas. And so I think if you've got scale in mind, you can build your framework around that. So, from what I've seen, some of the smaller businesses that we work with, the key that they've got over some of their larger competitors is that they've got adaptability and they can set up programs and set up their structures within the business to make sure that they can pivot a lot easier than some of the bigger clients or bigger brands that have got legacy systems that don't give them that same agility.
And I suppose, having been through a pandemic for about a year and a half now, there is no way in the world that you could say that things will return to normal. I mean, there were companies that were holding out for that. Does this mean, though, that customer loyalty, customer retention, that's just gone out the window?
Well, I mean, absolutely. For a few reasons, customer loyalty has changed significantly. One is that, customers are far more informed now. They're shopping online, and by shopping online, it gives them access to a far greater set of data points, and with that information they can be more calculated in their purchasing behaviour. But also there's less control with the brand to be able to manage that purchasing journey. So therefore loyalty is, customer loyalty is more difficult. And I think, if you look at traditional customer loyalty programs, they're a bit outdated now. It is really about how do we drive behavioural change in the real time, and then you can build up that real-time behaviour and build your credit over time with providing more behavioural incentives rather than just sort of traditional points-based programs.
When you talk about behavioural incentives, do you mean like, for example, you have searched for three items of the same nature, here's a couple of coins that you could use to offset your delivery, that sort of to keep me on the platform longer?
Yeah, well, I mean, what we're saying with behavioural incentives is that if you either understand the behaviour that you want your customers to exhibit, or you're learning more about your customers based on the behavioural steps that they're taking, you can actually then drive them to the end path to purchase with the right incentive. Because the more you know about your customer, the more effective you'll be at delivering the message that they want to hear. So that's really the key, right? The key is those behavioural incentives is that, you can sort of deliver in a digital environment more effective, more targeted and smaller and therefore more cost-effective triggers and incentives along the way.
But claiming incentives, and I'm curious about this, claiming incentives or claiming rewards for as a customer, how often is it overlooked when it comes to the ease of claiming these rewards?
Yeah, well, I mean, that is the key to the success of any program is making sure that it's a seamless experience. Customers are becoming far more demanding and rightly so because, they're connected to their mobile devices these days. And if it's not a seamless experience and a real-time experience, that's going to see an immediate drop-off in their satisfaction for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Great conversation. I have been speaking with John Jess, who's the CEO of Stash. John, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Elliot. Thanks for the time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.